Welcome to Overflow, an Osage Hills podcast, where we explore the parts of Sunday's sermon that didn't make it to the platform, dive into upcoming events, and unpack why we do what we do as a church. This week, Nate, Mark, and Adam talk about the image of God. They venture into history, talking about the kings of old, chocolate bunnies, how Jesus is the only perfect example, and so much more. Stick around as we explore these truths and how they apply to our everyday lives. Here we go.
Welcome to the Overflow Podcast.
Hello.
Hi, my name's Nate. I'm the lead pastor of Osage Hills. I have Mark and Adam with me. They're on staff as well.
That's true.
That is correct.
Yeah. And we're excited to be here and talk about, what's coming up. This is, Sunday is Easter Sunday.
Kind of a big deal.
Sunday's coming.
And Saturday is, we're doing something with the community called the Extravaganza. And so if you're part of the church, we just want you to come out here and be a part of this, make connections with the community, and man, it's going to be exciting. We also see that we have rain in the forecast. So right. Adam, why don't you give us a lowdown on what is going to happen if we do.
I believe it's down low.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah.
Low down low.
I'm just going to talk about what we're going to do in case it rains. So the extravaganza is going to happen, rain or shine. We have a contingency plan if the weather does interfere with us. But essentially what we'll do is we'll just move everything indoors. Mm-hmm. We'll have seating around the gym floor. Kids will still be able to do their Easter egg hunt. It's not really a hunt. It's more of a
Easter egg grab.
An Easter egg grab at that point. We'll still have hot dogs and all that. We'll just probably move the food and stuff under the awning, hoping that it's not like a downpour. But regardless of what the weather is going to do, we've got things ready and we've got plans for making the extravaganza happen and be a fun time and a great time for the community. So rain or shine, we'll be here. And we just might pivot a little bit and move everything into the gym. But
Pivot.
Yeah, we'll do that. But we'll still make sure that it's a great experience. And we still want you to come out. We still need you to come out, especially if you're part of the church. We need you to come out because we're going to have a lot of people here on Saturday. And, you know, we don't know exactly how many, but there'll be quite a few who don't have a church home. And we have, it'll be us and two other churches. Mm-hmm. And so the goal is, obviously that everybody's here gets to hear the word of God and gets to hear the story of Easter. And, we want to help our community find, a church home. If that's us, great. If it's one of the other churches, that are here with us, that's awesome too.
Yeah. And if you're one of those people who find it difficult to start conversations with strangers, especially about church or your faith, what a great opportunity to practice in a non-threatening, you know, safe environment where you don't even have to find them. They are literally coming here.
Right.
So this is a great chance to just be the image of God. Mm-hmm. Do the image things that Nate's been talking about.
Yeah. I'm excited about this. It's a wonderful opportunity that we have to, you know, invite someone to come and be a part of the community of Christ on a very, momentous day for the church and that we celebrate the resurrection. It's simple. We'll have cards available for invites too. So all that'll be set out. You can just take those and give them to the person that you know and just say, hey, come back and meet me here tomorrow. So that's happening this weekend. And then Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. It's going to be a fun day too.
Right? Yeah.
There's all kinds of things planned. So we'll have donuts.
Yeah. And, you know, many people don't know this about donuts, but they are actually Christian symbolism.
Cannot wait to hear this. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the donut hole is intentionally removed to represent the stone of Jesus's tomb. I can't.
Yeah. I wasn't going to let you go much further than that.
And then the circular donut.
Nope. No, sir.
I don't think that's true.
Let's just.
Yeah. I was like, I'm learning something new today.
Heresy is not something we're okay with. It's sacrilegious, you know.
But there's a lesson in there somewhere.
Yeah, and in the original Greek, long John.
No.
Long Ioannes.
Nope, I'm officially ending this portion now.
That's hilarious. Okay. Well, we will have donuts. We'll have a place where you can take pictures as a family too, because that's kind of important. I know a lot of people bring their family to church on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, and they like to take pictures because they're all dressed up and things like that. So we'll have a little place available for that.
You know what I'm going to wear? You know what my Easter outfit is?
You're going to wear a tie?
No, I'm going to wear jeans and a black t-shirt.
Okay.
I'd like to wear jeans and black t-shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really just, exposing the light of Christ.
Okay.
Do a white t-shirt.
Well, you could. Yeah, you could.
Or jeans bright, and a black t-shirt.
Bright yellow for sunshine. But anyway, we'll move on. So these things are kind of important, Resurrection Sunday, and just a great opportunity to invite somebody. People are looking to go to church that weekend. So most likely, on special days like this, momentous days like this for the church, people are more inclined to say yes. Another thing that we launched this past weekend was the Open Doors Capital Campaign. We believe that God is leading us into another phase, a new phase here at Osage Hills. And this is part of our 3-year vision, is to have double kingdom impact over the course of 3 years, in which, we at the time when we launched the vision, we were averaging about 160 on the weekends. And the goal is within 3 years to have 320 people who are committed to Christ and connecting Christ where they live. And right now, in year two, we are averaging a little bit over 200 on the weekends, which is exciting. We've experienced growth, but we want to have a very clear front entrance so that when people come, they know how to get in. And that's what this project, this Open Doors project, is going to do. It's going to make it so the doors are visible and they're open when they come. So we plan on remodeling the front area of our church where our current entrance is, for those of you who know, and clearing out those front office areas and creating lobby space so that we can really cultivate an atmosphere for developing life-changing relationships, which is very critical to the Christian walk. So we'll also have new, larger restrooms, better coffee area, and develop a new sensory room too. And the goal is to raise a certain amount of funds to keep going, so we can improve the child's check-in area, make that more visible and just an overall better experience for parents, especially for the one, And also, and for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, that language is from Luke 15, where Jesus was giving us the parable of a shepherd who has one sheep missing and leaves the 99 to go and find them. And then we're kind of commissioned to be passionate about what Jesus is passionate about. And so there's someone who is close to you who is far from God, and we recognize them as the one. God puts you in their lives to share with them the love of Jesus. And so that's very important. And that's the reason why we're doing this, is we want to give people that opportunity to connect with him. So it's easy to come in. It's not difficult. And it's easy to develop those Christian relationships that can have a positive impact on your life. And so those are some of the things that we're doing. We've put all this on our website, and I believe it's in the app, or it's going in the app.
It is in the app.
Yeah, awesome.
Open doors, because yeah, everyone matters.
Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that'll do.
That is. So we've launched the campaign to raise funds for the projects. And there's a couple dates you'll want to remember. I know there's a lot of questions with things like this. So April 27th, it's the Sunday after Resurrection Sunday, that we will be answering questions during our service time. So at 10:30, we will have our worship. And then after the worship goes on and we dismiss the kids to their kids' worship, we will have a time where we go into further detail and answer questions. And then the following weekend, May 4th, is official pledge day that we are launching for the month of May. Now, the pledges will probably continue on afterward, and the way to give will continue as well. But we'll be discussing all this in the near future. I'm really excited about moving forward with this. So God's moving at Osage Hills, and we want to invite you to be a part of it. So be prayerfully considering moving forward how you can contribute, how you can do your part in opening the doors.
May the 4th be with you.
Yep,
I knew it was going to happen.
Special day.
It has to.
It's easy.
Yep.
It's easy to remember it that way. But, okay, speaking of pivot.
Pivot.
Wow. We are going to move on.
We really have to work on our segues. We've just given them up at this point. We're just like, and new.
Transition.
Here, thank you.
We are now going to transition into the image of God conversation. This last week was week 3, and it was somewhat of a history lesson as we explored what image meant to the ancient Near Eastern peoples and the surrounding. Well, in the context of ancient Israel, when they were receiving the law from Moses near Mount Sinai, at the foot of Mount Sinai, and what that looks like, and the language that was used even in creation. And one of the things that we had talked about was that in ancient Near Eastern societies, there was this, they had a shared viewpoint of a divinely inspired triad for society, which was the city, temple, and the idol. Nihaus, I don't know how to say his last name. So, Jeff, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry.
Just call him Jeff.
But anyway, here's the quote that is in his book, Ancient Near Eastern Themes in Biblical Theology. He kind of explains it to us. The city was important because it imaged forth a heavenly city. The temple was important because it represented a heavenly temple. The image or idol that was put inside the temple was important because it represented the God. And actually, it was thought embodied the God in the earthly temple and the city. Not only could an earthly city presuppose a heavenly archetype, but a God could actually build a city and a temple. A God built a city and temple because he wanted to reside in an urban temple among his people. They believed, the ancient Near Eastern peoples believed, that gods could and would reveal temple patterns to their elect priest kings, just as Yahweh revealed a tabernacle pattern to Moses. But the ultimate form of divine revelation is the very presence of a God accessible to the worshiper. So this was present in ancient Near Eastern texts, the pyramid texts, which were going on during the first 6 dynasties of Egypt, which was going on between 3100 and 2185 BC. There's the city of Anu, where Amun or Ptah, the god, could command Pharaoh to build a temple because the gods and Pharaoh had a mutual understanding in some type of a covenant relationship. They revealed patterns that commanded temple construction as part of that relationship. And it was really, in a way, a divine kingship. So, and this is where I was unable to go Sunday, is that as we understand the temple part and the idol part and how idols were an image of the deity, but it also housed the deity itself. There's this other facet about the king. The king, especially in Egypt early on, and even in Babylon, were thought to be gods incarnated. And they were, well, it's kind of difficult to describe. So it wasn't that they were simply in a covenant relationship with the gods, it's that the gods basically had an assembly, and they would send a god to be incarnated and live as the king among the people. And so he would rule as God and was seen as a god. And when he would go and visit the people, he would dress in, you know, what we would just summarize as royal apparel. But he would wear a lot of gold and shiny things and expensive things that would cause him to glow and pour forth some kind of, what would you call it? Like
aura.
An aura, yeah. An aura of
peak aura.
Kingliness.
Yeah. So when people look on him, they think they're looking at a god. And he would not show up in society all the time. So it was very sporadic, but they would have these huge parades and people would line the streets and they would cheer and be real excited about it and think that they're looking at a god. And I don't know if many of you have watched the series called House of David.
Yeah, I've only seen like the first episode.
I haven't yet, no.
So I've
heard good things.
You got to realize that they're not trying. There's a lot of extra biblical content in it, but they're staying pretty true to the biblical content when they're not going extra biblical. But anyway, there's a section in there where Saul's wife starts talking about how when she was a kid, she was in Egypt when one of the pharaohs was making his way through, and she was just enamored by his presence and the way that he appeared and how people loved him and honored him and how that really really affected her. And honestly, I feel like the description that she gave in that story was just spot on for what we can read about in the ancient texts from Babylon and Egypt, how these kings were elevated to a status because they truly believed they were the embodiment of a god present with the people. So super fascinating thing. And I have an illustration here, about us being made in God's image. So he's an animated human being by a god, as an image of a god in the presence of his people. Being made in God's image is also about God's purpose in the world, God through us. So in order to understand how image is connected with purpose, we need to understand a common practice in the ancient world. Well, since the end of the Second World War in 1945, North Korea has been ruled by the Kim family. Now, Kim Tu-sung and then his son, Kim Jong-tu, ruled for over 66 years, demanding total loyalty and even veneration. And to this day, pictures of these leaders are hung in just about every home, office building, and school. There are over 500 statues of Kim Tu-sung all around North Korea. And his grandson, Kim Jong-un, which I'm sure you've probably heard that name, assumed power in 2011 and is now building three enormous statues on the highest mountain in North Korea as a tribute to himself, his father, and his grandfather. These pictures and statues are constant reminders to the people of North Korea that the Kims are in charge and demand their loyalty. In the same way, to show where they ruled and reigned, kings in the ancient world set up giant statues of themselves. And we saw that in one of the pictures that we showed on Sunday. The kings place these giant images in the center of their cities and at the borders of their lands to remind people who was in charge. As we said, this is part of a book. An image isn't something we look at on a screen, a reflection in a mirror, or a picture seen with the eyes. An image refers to a statue or a figure that can be touched, something we can't ignore. In the ancient world, it was understood that a god would have a living image of himself in the world. But the living image only applied to one person, a king. Egyptian and Babylonian kings, and they alone, were called the image of God. Because the king was the God's image in the world, the king was also the rightful ruler of the kingdom, and he set up images of himself to remind everyone that he alone was in charge. Great for the king, bad for everyone else.
Yeah, it's like the giant chocolate bunny from VeggieTales.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Honestly, it makes sense. Yeah. But how it's really interesting.
Theologically deep.
How interesting that according to Scripture, that God fashioned human beings and created all of them in His image under His divine sovereignty rather than the divine sovereignty of one single man. In that we are all made in the image of God. You do not have to be a king in some type of elevated status in society to be perceived in this way. And granted, all of us have made mistakes and we don't function very well as the image, but this is our calling and this is who we, I mean, honestly, that should affect your heart and your mind in that God shaped you to be something more than what you think you are. And He views you in that way.
Yeah, and I think a fascinating part about that is that in the human story, these just regular dudes said one day, like, yeah, I'm king now. And so then, and then that, you know, sparked this long history of monarchical.
That's not a word.
That might be now. But you know, these humans throughout history who just posted themselves up as these divine images to the people. The thing that's really interesting to me is that the reality and the truth that God created us in His image, and then those who call on the name of Christ and believe in His name, we are now more than conquerors, which is a kingly phrase, because who conquered? Kings did, right? Yeah. We are more than conquerors because of Jesus, mm-hmm. and we are called His co-heirs. Mm-hmm. And so by not trying to be kings, we are called co-equal to the king,
right.
above yeah. all things.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not ironic, but it's just such an upside down way
totally.
That the world thinks right. about it.
Totally.
And if you like, oh, you want to be a king? Well, the king of the universe said that you're His co-heir,
yeah.
co-ruler.
Well, and it, well, okay. It really speaks to what Scripture was speaking into in, you know, 3,000-4,000 years ago, where the society of the Hebrews was completely backwards to all other societies that they were surrounded by. You know, the Babylonians and the Egyptians, and the two major trade nations that would use the Israel, as their way of moving through and trading with anyone in the north or anyone in the south. It's how they would travel. And so, and you look at the way that God set up the Israelite society without a king. Without a king. Why? Because you don't need one guy to image God. All of you are made in His image. And you're meant to look to Him together as a collective unit to be His image in the world. And so in Samuel, when God, He basically made a concession for them. He's like, this is what they want. Give them a king. And then what we read about over and over again is every single king they had never lived up to the image. Yeah. Every single one of them continued to fail over and over and over. Even the guy that was called the man after God's own heart, he saw a woman taking a bath and he was like, I want her.
Yeah.
And after that moment, His entire kingship started falling apart, you know, internally. And it's one of those, like, this, I don't want to say, well, how do I say? It's something that's indicative of a need for someone who will model for us what the image looks like. And it's only found in one person. It's found in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And then through faith in Him, we are then united with the true image, the one image that like you were saying, Mark, sets us in a very unique and amazing place with God.
you know, I kind of, as we've been talking through, I've thought of it in a different way, maybe even complimentary. I don't know, just slightly different. In that, I think this is also a good. I hesitate to use the word warning, because that's maybe heavier than I mean it to be, but
cautious.
Yeah, in the sense of like, you know, recognizing that we're all made in God's image. I think there is still a tendency, especially in our culture in America, to elevate those who are in roles of power, right? Like Nate, you mentioned, like you don't have to be a king to be the image of God. And as I was heard that, as I'm thinking through it, like I think for those of us as Christ followers, it's good to take note to this, that like, especially where we are, again, like I said, here in America, we do tend to elevate those who are in
positions of power. Yeah.
And I think it's a good reminder of caution to realize that those who do hold that position of power, they are created in God's image, but they're still human, right? Mm. And to not allow those seats of power to, you know, cover any gaps or any areas, and just remember that they're, you know, they're still flawed. And on the other side of that, I think this is the biggest thing that is sticking in my mind is I think, as those of us who are Christ followers, we really need to recognize that everybody being made in God's image means everybody. Mm-hmm. It means the people that we don't get along with. It means the people who don't know Christ yet. It means the people who are struggling in the things that we've overtaken them because of the glory of God. Well, you know, that person is still created in God's image. And I think it's a very important reminder to realize that none of us are living up to that image. And I don't know if Nate, either you or Mark said, there's only one person who has lived up to that image, mm-hmm. and that's Christ. And unless we're doing that, then we have no other power or anything that separates us higher above anybody else. And so we need to be doing what God has called us to do and bringing those who we know don't have a relationship to him. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, maybe just for me, even in this morning, just a reminder to be like, everybody is created in God's image.
Yeah. Which should inform how you respond.
Right.
Should inform how you interact and not just in the moments that you respond to somebody, but seeing the moment as an opportunity to be that to somebody.
Right.
Which is something we've been kind of stressing over the last 3 weeks that we've been in the series. This next week, we're diving into, the exact representation of God. As we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, there's so many things when we look at Jesus as to what the image was designed to be. And then how the resurrection actually brings us, faith in the resurrection brings us it back into being the image of God.
Right.
It's as far as now, I just want to, you know, challenge people to be thinking that don't put yourself in the slot of kingship.
Right.
Or is it someone's lower than you, as how these other societies would view the image. Someone who's above somebody else. Like, that's not what the image of God looks like. And so...
Well, at the same time, I mean, we can't escape the reality that is a bit of the human institution as well.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And that God sets up governments and
he does.
God appoints leaders.
Certainly.
And kings. And so I think we can't allow the pendulum to swing too far.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you bring up a good point. What I mean would be, don't put yourself in a spot where you look down on others and mm-hmm. remove their imageness from your perspective. Thank you. That challenged
the way
that I phrase it.
To be very clear, I'm not suggesting we overthrow any governments, right? I'm not doing that.
yeah.
But
unless they need to be overthrown.
I mean, but you know, but no, that's good. That's a good point, Mark. Like the people who are in leadership, you know, we trust that God has put them there. And I think more like what I was saying is just recognize that that person that you know, you never want to meet your heroes, right? That person that you look up to, and man, they've got it all together. The truth is, they don't. They're still created in God's image, but we just wouldn't want to put the wrong person in that spot of being kind of that all encompassing, like they are the winner, right? Because you know they're just not.
So that's actually part of the topic for this weekend.
Oh, sweet.
So some of those things we'll be getting into a lot deeper discussion this coming Sunday. So I'm real excited about capping this series off this weekend and talking about the awesomeness of Jesus. So thanks for tuning in today. Don't forget to invite somebody.
Yeah, invite people, bring them to the extravaganza and bring them back for Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see you there.